say this, God really loves me. Amen? Man, it's easy to say God loves us, but man, we need to realize God loves me. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. That means there's nothing you can do that would cause God to love you more than He already loves you. And there's nothing that you can do that's going to cause God to love you any less than He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And He loves you steadfastly. It's the same all the time. There's no good days and bad days. It's all good. And He loves you everlastingly. There will never be a time when He doesn't love you. Amen? Amen. You know, I was telling myself this morning, be mindful of the times. You know, we've got baptism. We've got worship. Be mindful of the time. These people can only endure so much. So you need to be careful about how long you preach. Forget that this morning. Amen. Man, the fuse has been set. Let's just, it's been lit. Let's do this thing, okay? Have your Bibles this morning. Find your place with me in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in the 6th chapter. I don't know. I heard about a fellow one time who was being bullied at school. Every day he'd go to school and there's this bully there that would beat him up and take his lunch money from him. And so he got tired of not eating lunch and getting his money stolen from him every day. So he decided, I'm going to fight back. And so he went and he was going to take karate classes. And so he went down to the karate instructor and he was going to sign up. And the karate instructor told him how much each session was. And he decided it was cheaper to pay the bully. Well, I want to tell you this morning, the devil is your bully. The devil is your bully. Here's the problem, though. He doesn't want to steal your lunch money. He wants to eat your lunch. He came to steal and destroy. Okay? And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to speak to you about standing against the enemy. Okay? When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he begins telling them what it is to be seated with Christ. What it means to have a relationship with Christ. What it means to have Christ living in you. Okay? And then he begins to tell us how to walk with Christ. That is, how do we live out Christ in this world? How do we live out these principles of salvation? And then he closes this chapter with how to stand. How to stand against the enemy. How to stand against the attacks, okay? Now, before I really get into this morning, let me give you a commercial break. There is absolutely no way that I can do justice to this scripture this morning in the amount of time that we have. And you can't absorb it all in the amount of time that we have this morning, okay? I can't talk fast enough and you can't listen fast enough. And so we're not going to cover it all this morning, okay? We're going to take a commercial break next week. It's Labor Day weekend and all those kind of things. I know some of you are going to play hooky and travel and do all those kind of things. But we're going to come back after that, and we're going to spend about the next 4 or 5 weeks talking about spiritual warfare, okay? And so I understand it's one of those topics. It's one of those areas of our life that's important, and we all struggle with it. And so I want to really give you enough that will change your life. I want to give you enough that will prepare you and equip you for the battle that we all face. And first of all, we need to understand this one, that the devil is real. Okay? The devil is not just some figment of imagination that we label evil. Okay? The devil himself is real. Demons are real. Evil is real. Spiritual warfare is real. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen? I mean, we face these things all the time. So look at what Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren. We always like to hear those words, right? Finally. Man, he's finally going to hush. He's finally going to quit, right? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He mentions four references here to standing in the gap here, to stand against the evils, to stand against the devil, to be steadfast, to stand in the Lord. If you don't get it, he wants us to be able to stand. Okay, he wants us to be able to stand and to stand firm. And so we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil, which means we need to understand his strategy. We need to understand his devices. We need to be aware of his snares. It is to walk through life with an awareness that there is evil out there and that we need to be cautious as we navigate through life. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, first of all, he points out the enemy. He describes the enemy that we fight. Notice what he says here in verse 12. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our struggle is not physical. Our struggle is spiritual. It's not against flesh and blood. Now, it's a spiritual conflict against a spiritual mafia, if you will. Okay? There's powers and there's beings and there's forces out there that we have to deal with. And they're always on attack. The battle itself is real. And the battle sometimes can be physical, okay? But we're not battling against physical forces. We're battling against individual forces. And Paul here describes, he gives four descriptions of the enemy. Did you notice that? He gives four descriptions of the enemies, plural, more than one. That's important for us to know. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not omnipowerful, okay? He's certainly not omniscient. He doesn't know it all. Amen? And because he's limited, he can't be everywhere at all the times. And I know some of you are thinking, well, if he can't be everywhere, he has taken up residence at my house. Okay? Everybody else is good and clear because I know where he lives, right? Well, the devil can't be everywhere all the time. And so there's demons. There's demons and there's powers and there's forces out there. We need to understand this morning in the context of what Paul is telling us. So let's kind of break it down here. He says here that against principalities. Paul is saying there is these individual audience or these invisible audiences of evil, these princesses or these are princes and chiefs among all of these enemies. Like the good angels, they're regarded and divided into ranks of order. Under Satan, we know the good angels. We know Michael, right? We know Gabriel. We know those good angels that are listed in Scripture. Well, just as those good angels are under the under God, there are these bad angels under Lucifer, under Satan. Let me give you an illustration of this. It's found in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10. We've got it on the screen. We'll kind of follow along together this morning. But I want you to see this because sometimes we read these passages in the Old Testament. And it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. I don't know what that's like. But what are we talking about here? So I want to show you this. So in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, he says this. He says, then he said, Daniel's had a vision, okay? Daniel's had a dream. He's had a vision. And he doesn't really understand what it is. And so he's praying and he's asking God, God, tell me what this is all about. Anybody had that prayer? You know, God, I don't understand what's going on in life. God, tell me. Tell me what, how do I understand this? God, how do I interpret this into my life? How do I apply it? And so he's asking God. And he said, then do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Isn't it good to know that when we pray, God hears immediately? God hears those prayers immediately. But notice what he goes on to say. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, the good angel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. He says, we heard your prayer, and God sent me with an answer. But the king of Persia, one of those evil spirits, had buffeted me, had kept me from being able to get to you. And Michael came along to help me. This is spiritual warfare. This is like beyond Star Wars, okay? We're talking about spiritual warfare in the heavenlies here, okay? So again, we see this battle that's taking place. And then he says, not only against these principalities, but also against powers. Most often it's paired with the principalities. It means that they've been given the permission or the authority or the right. They have a liberty. They have a power to act. They're like deputies of the demons, okay? They may not have the official rank, but they've been given authority under that rank, okay? So they're like the little deputy demons, if you will, okay? And then thirdly, he points out against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We know from Scripture that the devil has been given rule here on earth because of our sin, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says this, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, notice, little g, that the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so there are these rulers of darkness. They're rulers trying to keep us in the dark. The Bible says Jesus is light, right? He's the light of the world. Light dispels darkness, right? Well, these are rulers of darkness. They want to keep us in the dark. They don't want us to know the truth of God's word. And so when the preacher stands to preach and he's preaching the truth of God's word, those rulers of darkness comes along and they say, I wonder what's going on in the football game right now. I wonder what tomorrow when I get to work, I'm thinking about things that I've got to do tomorrow. And all of a sudden, the preacher's been preaching for 5 or 10 minutes and you hadn't heard a word he said, right? See, I can take rest this morning to know it's not because I'm boring. It's because the enemy's good at keeping you in the dark, right? Now, seriously, so he doesn't want you to hear. He doesn't want you to understand the truth. And so he tries to keep you in the darkness. And then the fourth one, he says, is against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is to say, there are numerous demonic forces seeking opportunities to inflict evil. When you read the Scriptures, the Scripture says that about a third of the angels left and followed Lucifer when he failed. Now, I don't know how many a third of the angels are, but that's a lot. So there's a lot of these little demon forces that are all running around and they're trying to inflict and they're trying to influence evil on our lives. And this is where we have to be guarded because the devil, these demons, these evil influences will influence people to do evil. Hello? Anybody got teenagers? No, I'm just picking. No, the devil will influence people even in the church. Man, some of the most hateful, most evil people I've ever met were in church. Hey, if you don't think the devil's here this morning, you're mistaken. Man, the devil shows up, he's here before the doors get open. He gets in your car before you get ready to leave your house in the mornings. Some of you rode with him this morning to church, didn't you? Don't look at your spouse. that the devil will use us to inflict evil on one another. And we get mad at one another, and we beat up one another, and we're not the enemy. The devil wants us to think the problem that you have in your life is this other person. You know, listen, our enemy is not the politicians. Our enemy is not the abortionist. Our enemy is not the drug dealer. Our enemy is Satan and his demonic forces. But he uses us as evil agents and influences us for evil. Call your attention back many years ago. Some of you probably weren't born at this time, but back in 1665, anybody alive back then? Back in 1665 in London, they had what was called the Black Plague. Y'all remember reading that in history? Okay, the Black Plague. Thousands and thousands of people were dying every day. And they didn't understand why. They thought that maybe it was something in the air. They couldn't understand. They couldn't figure out what it was that was causing it. And they were oblivious to the open sewage in the city. They were oblivious to the rats that were running through the town. And what they didn't realize was that there was this unseen, undetectable, you couldn't smell it, you couldn't see it, you couldn't touch it, you couldn't feel it, bacteria that was causing people to die. The devil is in this covert attack. We can't see it. We can't smell it. We can't touch it, feel it. But it's there. And it's destroying us. And we're blaming each other. And we're blaming everything else but the devil. Even to the point where sometimes we go, you know what? The devil's not real. That's just a figure of evil. And the real evil is us. And we blame each other. So we need to understand this morning. We have a real enemy, and it's the devil and his demons. Everybody okay with that? Say amen. We got that, all right? So then he points us to the equipment that we wear. Look what he says there in verse 13. Therefore, because we have this enemy, because he is so powerful, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. And then he lists this armor, if you will. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having, or above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we could spend all morning, and we will spend all morning in a couple of weeks on this armor, okay? But I just wanted us to walk through this morning, just to make you aware of this. These pieces of armor, they mirror the army that was worn by Roman soldiers. Paul is wanting to give them a visual picture of a Roman soldier and the armor that he wears, and to tell us that God has given us a spiritual armor that will protect us even better than a Roman soldier can be protected by his armor. And so he points out, first of all, he says, having girded your waist with truth. Some translations may say the belt of truth. This was a thick leather type apron, if you will, that you would wear. It would have all your tools in it. It's kind of like a carpenter's belt or a blacksmith's belt or something like that. But it would have all these tools in it. And then all the other armor pieces would be connected to that. It would kind of hold it all together. Hold it all in its place. When we think about the belt of truth, truth is the foundation that holds us together, right? Truth is the foundation that we build everything else on. It protects the abdominal area of our bodies, okay? You ever been faced with a situation and you just had a gut feeling, right? Well, if you have the belt of truth on, it helps you to discern those feelings and right and wrong and all those kind of things. And then he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, this was a large leather and metal piece that covered the chest area. It covered the vital organs of your body, right? And what does Scripture tell us? The Scriptures tell us to what? Guard our hearts. That our hearts are evil and prone to wickedness, right? And so we're to put on this breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, that vital organ. And then he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These were like leather sandal-like. They're kind of like high-top sneakers, okay? You could put them on your feet and it would give you a foundation and it would help you to advance. It was a sign of readiness. It was a sign of readiness to be prepared, ready to go. To sleep with your boots on, right? To be ready to go at all times. And the Scripture tells us that we need to always be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us, right? And so to be able to share the gospel, to be ready to share that gospel with folks. And then he says to take the shield of faith. And when we think about shields, oftentimes we think about one of these little round metal discs and you hold it on your arm and you fight off the... That's not what he's talking about. This particular shield of faith is more like a door. It was a huge panel. It would be wood or it would be some type of stone, and they would cover it with leather. And oftentimes they would drench that leather with water so that when fiery darts hit it, it wouldn't catch fire. It would just extinguish those fiery darts. But it was huge, and you could actually pick it up and you would just walk behind it. There was no way anything could get to you because you were walking behind this shield of faith and you could advance. Now, most of us are just trying to get to that faith the size of a mustard seed, right? But God says we need to take this shield of faith, this large faith, and walk boldly. And we can walk in assurance to know that God's going to protect us. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet was most often the most costly piece of equipment. It protects our mind, right? And again, Scripture tells us that we need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? And so the mind plays an important part to discern wickedness and evil and all those kinds of things. God doesn't want us to be knuckleheads. God doesn't want us to be ignorant over and over again in Scripture. God said, I would that you not be ignorant. So he wants us to be mindful of these things. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. Therefore, it's important that we spend time in God's Word and that we grow. Listen, your salvation doesn't start. I mean, your salvation just starts when you accept Christ. And then it takes a step forward when you're baptized. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And so your salvation is being worked out every day. So we need to put our mind to Christ. And then he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, this is these swords were small swords, and they were used in hand-to-hand combat, closeness. And the devil ever get real close to you? You better have the sword ready, right? Think about when Jesus was in the wilderness, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says that the devil came to tempt him, right? I mean, the devil got up close and personal with Jesus. It was just the two of them out there. You ever been there? You ever been in the wilderness and it's just you and the devil, right? You better have the sword of the Spirit with you, the Word of God with you. And so when Satan said, look, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you take all these rocks? You've been sitting here, you hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus said, and we all are accustomed to this, right? We all said, Jesus said, the Bible says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? Where in the world did Jesus get that from? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You see, Jesus quotes Scripture to the devil. That's his defense. Every time when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus responded by quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. We need to be equipped with the Word of God so that we can defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy, especially when he gets up close and personal. And then he says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Anytime there's a battle, Communication is key, right? And man, when there's multiple enemies out there, we need to be communicating. We need to be able to share with one another. Hey, look, man, I just want you to be aware of the enemy's over here. Hey, here he comes. You know, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be keeping each other alert to the attacks of Satan. Here's another good picture, a word picture, if you will, in Scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 14, Judah is under attack from their enemy. And the king, King Uzziah, is preparing them to lead them out into battle. And notice what it says there. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Bows and slings to cast stones. The king equipped his people with the armor that they needed in order to go out and do battle. We have a heavenly king who gives us all that we need to do battle. Amen? Man, I praise God that God doesn't just send us out there in the world and go, okay, it's going to be bad and the enemy's hard, but do the best you can. Good luck. Right? No, that's not what Jesus does. God gives us the armor that we need. He prepares us and He equips us and He makes that available to us. Here's the problem that most of us run into. We read this scripture, we read about this armor, and we go, man, that sounds good. Let me put that on. And then we don't really practice it. And then when the devil attacks, we don't know how to use the shield of faith. We don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit. We don't know how to use the Word of God. We don't know how to rely on Him. We forgot to put our belt of truth on Him. We can't discern what's good and evil. Otherwise, what we've done, we've not tested and gotten familiar with the equipment. Remember when David was a little shepherd boy? And the Israelites were being attacked by the Philistines, and the Israelites were all hiding out there, and there was old Goliath the giant, and he came out and he challenged the Israelites every day. And David goes out to check on his brothers in battle to see how they're doing, and they're all hiding in the foxhole, and David says, what are y'all doing over here? I said, well, man, I got this big old giant over here, man. He's threatening to kill all of us. And David's like, but we got God on our side. And so David's like, I'll go out there and take him on. And Saul, the king, hears about that. And Saul says, oh, wait a minute. Who's this little rascal? Hey, let me give him my armor. And so the king gives David all of this armor. And David puts it all on. And he's like, you remember when your kids would put your shoes on and try to walk in them? You know? And so David, he's got all this armor on. He's trying to walk in. And he's like, I can't do anything with this because I've not tested. I haven't tested this. I don't know how to use all of this. But praise God, he had a sling that God had given him, right? And he knew how to use that. And so he knew how to use what God had given him. And he took that and he slew the giant, right? It's to say this morning, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to equip ourselves. We need to practice using the armor that God's made available to us so that we can win the victories. Amen? So, we think about this enemy, we think about the equipment that God gives us, but then we need to realize you can recognize the enemy and you can have all the best equipment, but if you don't have the strength to use it, what good is it? So then Paul gives us the energy that we use. What's the source of our energy? Notice what he says in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Just be strong. That's not what he said, is it? He didn't stop there. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit empower you to fight the battle. You see, armor and weapons alone are not enough to win the battle. It takes strength to fight. It takes strength to hold the shield up. Here's another good verse in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Again, we're where we just talked about where David with this armor here. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin." He says, "But I come to you not with a slingshot." He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." The name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then he says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you." Who's going to deliver him into his hand? Not the slingshot, but he says, the Lord. Okay? The slingshot may be a means, but the Lord is the end, right? He's going to deliver him. He says, "I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven." David says, "It's going to be all God. I'm just the little boy that he's going to use." And I love the fact that David says, not only am I going to kill you, he says, "I'm going to take the carcasses of the whole camp of the Philistines." Right? He said, "I'm not just going to kill one of them. We're going to take them all in the name of the Lord." See, we don't fight this battle in our own strength. Here's a danger. Here's a dangerous theology that I hear taught. The reason that you're facing the challenges that you're facing, the reason that you're losing the battles that you're losing, is because of your lack of faith. You've done something, you've not done something, it's your fault that you're losing this battle. I praise God, the Scripture teaches us that God is faithful even when we're faithless. If I can have this faith the size of a mustard seed and tell the mountain to move and the mountain moves, then that tells me that my power and strength is not based on the size of my faith. It's the size of the God that I have my faith in. Amen? That's important for us to understand. God, I don't know. God, I don't understand. God, I can't reconcile this in my mind. But God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you. And even the disciples said, "Lord, help us in our unbelief." Right? And so David says, "Lord, it's in your strength and it's in your power." I'm going to take you back to Ephesians chapter 1. Remember way back months ago, when we were here in Ephesians chapter 1 and I shared with you Paul's prayer for you? Paul's praying for you. He's praying for us as believers. He's praying that we would know and be able to understand what we really can't comprehend. He says, "I want you to know of what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Okay, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. He says, far above, what? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Paul says, I want you to understand the power of God. The same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, God's made that power available to you. Because He has dominion over all these powers, all these principalities, all over Satan, all over these rulers of darkness. Jesus has been given power over all of that. I want you to know that. I want you to grow in your understanding of that. Why does Paul pray that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1? Because he knows in Ephesians chapter 6 that he's going to tell us to stand against the rulers of darkness. And how are we going to stand against the rulers of darkness if we don't know the exceeding power of the God who saved us? Listen, if God can take your old sinful soul and save you from hell and bring you from death to life, that same Jesus has the power to defeat whatever enemies you're going to face this week. Amen? Amen? And when you get to work in the morning, and the devil's there meeting you, you just remind the devil, "Hey, devil, it might be Monday morning, but yesterday I was with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's already defeated you." Amen? Amen? Back in the early days of our country, back in the Revolutionary War, when we were fighting for our independence, there was a preacher. His name was Reverend John Peter Muhlenberg. He was an American preacher during this war period. And one particular Sunday, he came to church and he preached. The British army was getting close. And he preached from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in verse 1. And it reads, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And he preached about there's a time for this and a time for that. And when he got through at the conclusion of his service, he said this. He stood before them and he took his clerical robe and he took that off. And under that clerical robe was actually a continental soldier uniform. And he said, "In the words of the Holy Writ, there is a time to preach and there is a time to fight. And men, today it's time to fight. Who will enlist?" And at that invitation, men began to kiss their wives and hug their children and make their way forward to enlist, to do battle for their freedom. This morning, there's a battle. The enemy is attacking. And it's time. It's time to quit preaching. And it's time to start fighting. It's time for daddies. It's time for daddies to enlist. To say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to become a praying daddy. As Job prayed and interceded on behalf of his family, I'm going to begin to pray and intercede on behalf of my family. Today, I'm enlisting in the Lord's army and I dare Satan to cross the line because I am going to be one fighting daddy for my family, for my wife, for my kids." Amen? Amen. It's time for mamas to fight, to protect their children. Man, for moms to become prayer warriors over their kids, their homes. Listen, being a good mom has to include being a prayer warrior for your children. Moms, it's time to enlist. It's time that we get serious this morning. It's time for us to acknowledge there is a devil, that he is real, and that he is powerful, and he does have influence, and he does want to eat our lunch. But praise God, we have a God who will bring him into the light and will reveal him. And we have a God who gives us the equipment to defend ourselves. And he will give us the power to fight and to win the victory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, this morning, we love you. God, we're grateful. God, for your word. God, for its truth. And God, this morning, I pray that God, as your word has revealed to us, God, that we become more aware of, God, just the wiles of the devil. God, that the devil doesn't want us just to have a bad day. God, he wants to destroy our life. God, he doesn't want to just wreck our marriages. God, he wants to annihilate us. God, that we would understand the seriousness of that attack. God, we would begin to take serious, God, our walk with you. God, that we would equip ourselves with this armor. God, that we would empower ourselves with your strength and with your might. God, that we might be victorious. Father, I pray for families today. God, I pray for individuals today. God, I pray today that strongholds be broken down. God, I pray that chains be broken. And God, I pray that people today can walk in freedom. God, that people can walk in the power of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, today we pray. Father, in this time, God, for those that have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, God, for those who have been taken captive by the enemy, God, I pray today that they would realize there's a God who's won a victory for them, a God who wants to set them free. And Father, today, that they would just trust Jesus. And so, Father, today, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We love you, Father, and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And this is an opportunity. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today God spoke it into your heart, would you just simply say yes to Him? You may not understand what all that means, but listen, you'll understand this. You'll give up all that you understand about yourself. Hey, all I know is that I'm a sinner. To all that you understand about Christ Jesus, all I understand about Jesus is that He came and died on the cross for my sins. And I don't even understand all that fully. But with what you understand, give your heart to Christ. Come this morning. As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. Would you come today? Come right now.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Just a moment this morning. One of the hardest things I do is to come to the end of a service. But I want you to know this morning, God, speak it into your heart, speak it into your life. Hey, before you leave here, you need to talk to me, please. Find me and share with me, and let's have a conversation this morning before you get out of here this morning. Hey, I want to just share a couple of things with you this morning as we move forward. Starting September the 7th, that's 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing some small groups on Sunday evenings. Those will start at 5 o'clock. They'll be right here. They'll be in several of the rooms going back in this part of our education space. And I want to introduce you to these small groups. I want you to think about these and find where you might want to get plugged into to help you as we walk through this relationship with Christ. And so we've got a couple of just trailers here. I'm going to show and you can watch and give you a little idea about what each class is going to be. And the first one, I think, is what? Lost cause. It's a lost cause. There's such a concept today that sharing the gospel is a lost cause. So watch this video and then I'll come back.
Why does sharing something we call good news always end up feeling so bad? I mean, let's face it. The word evangelism has kind of become a taboo word. Doing evangelism is seen as culturally inappropriate. I want to share with you my conviction that evangelism is not a lost cause. It's the passion of God, the mission of Jesus, and the commission that He gave us. Lost people matter to God, and it's His passionate desire that all of us come to know Him. The gospel is not composed of memorized formulas or trick questions that you use on strangers, but it's something that fits easily into your everyday life. God promised all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. You have access to a powerful God, and experiencing the power of God will revive evangelism for the believer and the non-believer. Go. Love your neighbor. Change the world.
Hey, be honest this morning. How many of you are just completely comfortable with sharing your faith and sharing with somebody how to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Man, we all struggle, I think, to some point. Have I? Can I? Absolutely. Are those times when I go, I just don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know how this person's going to react. Hey, this will help you. This will encourage you, okay? All right? And then our second study that we have, which one are we going to show now, Alton? All Places to Go. All right? Let's watch this.
Life is filled with divine opportunities, but we have to learn how do you recognize them and how do you seize them. You know, the Bible is just full of stories of people who were given a divine opportunity by God, but it was their response, their yes or their no, that would end up shaping their lives.
For years, what I was doing was so conflicting with what my heart wanted to do.
I've had a gratifying career, but I've gotten further and further away from things that really mattered to me, where I thought I could make a difference.
Everything that I had depended on was now taken away. It was me in the wilderness with God.
An open door does not mean that all will be pleasant and smooth on the other side. Sometimes the open doors God wants us to go through require hardship and struggle. He meets human beings at the threshold of every open door. The magic of the open door is not the new circumstance or job or location or accomplishment. It's being with Him.
It was in those times of prayer that God reminded me, man, I can take care of them and I love them more than you do.
You know, we are making a difference. We are able to impact them for the better. When you hear those things, it makes all the hard work all worth it.
I live for changing the world where I can have an effect and help other men find the same life that I've got to live.
I'm always trying to be aware that God is watching me, but I'm serving it in Jesus' name. And when it's all finished and done with, I want Him to say, well done.
It is a divinely opened door, a door intentionally, thoughtfully, purposefully, deliberately opened by God Himself. This door is symbolic of boundless opportunities, of unimagined chances to do good, to make your life count for eternity. An open door is the great adventure of life because it means the possibility of doing something that's actually useful to the God of eternity.
So for those who are more comfortable in sharing their faith, this is a great study to encourage you to discover all the opportunities that God gives us every day to do that, okay? And so Billy and Sandy Bratcher back here in the back, they'll be leading that study. And Neil Howard over here will be leading the study on lost cause. And then Rhonda will be leading a class for our ladies. And this is the Daniel Prayer by Ruth Graham. Ann Graham. And so watch this video here on the prayer of Daniel. And I am talking slow so Elton can get where he needs to be. And I didn't talk slow enough. The world of technology, right? Here we go. Okay, here we go. You see this, right? The Daniel prayer, right? The prayer's been answered. It's coming, but there's a spiritual warfare that's lagging the answer, okay? Rhonda will be teaching this. The Daniel prayer, we just talked about how important prayer is in our fight against the devil. And so you come, ladies, and be a part of that as well, okay? And, yeah, Rhonda Howard will be teaching that class. So raise your hand over here, Rhonda. Neil, raise your hand, okay? So if you're interested in those, so that'll start not next Sunday night, but it'll start the following Sunday night, September the 7th. Get plugged into that, Okay. All right. Hey, let's stay in this morning. Man, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's been a lot to take in this morning. I know it's been a good morning, a lot of information. Just, man, baptism. It's been a great day. Weren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Man, so thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in today. Pray God will bless you richly this week. Hey, tell the world out there that there's a God who loves them. Amen. He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us. Yes. That's cool. Let's do that.
All right, let's sing as we leave out. Let's be excited about Jesus this week. Down at the cross. We may not have words. We all know it.
Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Sing it out.
Glory to His name. Glory.